Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want him. I didn't want him the first time. I don't want him this time.
Atlanta.
What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
What are we talking about?
What are you talking about?
Well, look, I love Josina Anderson. I think she does a terrific job. But she is reporting that there are various teams that may be interested in a guy named Bill Belichick. To include, Mike, and again, this is just, it's just out there. But to include our Atlanta Falcons.
You know what?
Who she says that there are some still high-level executives
okay.
who still hold him in high regard.
You know what? That's right.
Yeah,
you ain't lying. Best True Detective season ever. You know what? F it. Bring him on.
What?
Jordan Hudson, the sideshow, his idiot son is defensive coordinator. What the hell? We can't get – let's make it 10 years without the playoffs. We'll have a ball. We'll try to coax some sound out of mumbles every week up at Flowery Branch. You know what?
You're trying to kill me.
Yeah. You know what?
You're trying to kill me.
At this point, think of the entertainment value. Yes, bring it. Crazy eyes, Jordan Hudson, Coach Mumbles, you know, his nitwit son, you know, Steven, the defensive idiot. You know, bring it all.
No, you're trying to kill me. I am trying to be reasonable here. And here's the thing, guys. The reason why... We would get a lot of that. Here's the thing, Mike. We both know, and we've been saying this, Belichick wants to be in the NFL.
Of course he does. This was some kind of crazy-ass stopgap thing, which never made any sense. Probably made no sense to him, but just trying to keep his face out there.
And
mission accomplished.
Absolutely. And because of that, this is where we are right now when you talk about teams potentially. And look, for the teams that are out of the playoffs, you are reevaluating right now where you want to go and what you want to do this offseason. So, again, I'm just talking about what Josina Anderson has out there. And I love it because I'm going to read it to you. And this is what I said. I don't want him. I didn't want him then. I don't want him now.
By the way, I didn't want him either. But I got to be honest now. At this point.
It doesn't matter.
Let's roll the dice and have even more fun.
And I think a lot of people feel that way. They go, Mike's right. It can't be any worse. Yes, it can. Okay? With Jordan Hudson here, it could be worse. But here's what Josina says. She says, I've been told by people that have expressed interest in speaking with Bill Belichick. Now, speaking with him is one thing. If you're going to hire him, it's a whole other conversation. We spoke with him last time. And let me say this. If you are Bill Belichick, okay? And by the way, Raheem Morris has not been fired. We're just simply talking about this report. So if you're listening and you just tuned in, calm down. Nobody's been fired. But what we're telling you is these conversations, not only here in Atlanta, but elsewhere are going on. And she mentions New York, Mike,
right.
and Cleveland. She says all struggling teams that are going through their customary evaluations this time of year. She's absolutely right. But if I'm Bill Belichick, let me ask you this. After you shunned me on that boat, after you told me you didn't want me to come in and run this thing the way I want to run it,
right.
you really think I'm going to answer your phone call, even if I have a few guys who still hold me in high regard in this front office?
Yes, he'll still take the phone call because he's desperate, because he wants to get back in the NFL. He wants that Shula record so bad. That's another thing that's, you know, people kind of forget about. He wants to be the all-time winningest coach. And with the Falcons and the way he's been drafting, take him 3 years to get there. But
probably.
And look.
And by the way, I think you're right. Yeah. I do think he would take the phone call. And I do think that... You know, if this was offered, and we're not there yet, we don't even know if this is going to play out that way. That's why I'm all upset about it, because the idea is, we made a mistake, so now we want to correct it, and guess what? We still have people here interested in him, and we're going to try to bring him back. If I'm Bill Belichick, you talk about bending the knee?
Right.
Mike, I am literally coming in here and scorched earth if you're going to give me this opportunity,
right.
which is why I don't think that's going to happen. And let's be honest. The main reason why I don't think it's going to happen, there's one guy that's still here, that still has a huge voice and a huge say. You want to name him?
Rich McKay.
He's still here. And it didn't happen the last time, and as long as that is in place, it's not happening moving forward. That is what I believe. Now, We get to the end of the season, guys, in 3 weeks, Mike, and let's just say hypothetically, and Mike and I do not know, we've given you our opinions on it, everybody's fired.
Yes. Yeah, everybody's gone.
That changes this whole dynamic of who has a bigger say in the decision-making, and so, but we're not there. But I got to tell you, and maybe you feel differently, 404-726-0929, if you had a chance to go get Belichick now, would you?
No. And by the way, that was me being tongue-in-cheek. That was just being silly about, you know, hearty har-har. Let's have the Jordan Hudson and all the shenanigans and all that.
That sound fun, though.
I mean, we'd be laughing our butt. Now, again, I was always intrigued, and Crow and I said this. Can you imagine if we're up there at Flower Bench and we're talking to Bill Belichick, who before things, you know, kind of got a little sideways in his personal life. Look, some guys would say, God bless him. He's dating a girl 50 years his junior. Knock yourself out. But it just, all the things that he would preach against as a head coach about distractions and silliness, it's all he is right now. He's like a walking midlife or a late life crisis, you know? And the North Carolina thing is just, it's been exactly what I think you and I and many folks thought it would be, you know, uncompelling. I was not interested in his third act. Browns being the first act, Patriots being the second. His inability to draft has at the end. That's why I said, what's he going to do here? Now, the idea of the concept that you're talking about is a good concept. Having the faith to go bring somebody in, and I thought D-Led and I were talking about some names. How about John McKay, Rams assistant GM?
Okay.
Just throwing it out there. And D-Led and I were like, you're going to love the name, Mike. But anyway, but whoever comes in, you give him that authority that Belichick would have had.
Yes.
He picks the coach. He buys the groceries and is total, and there's no meddling from Arthur. And Arthur, you cannot say, ooh, I want Deshaun Watson, or hey, maybe we can. No, you're out. You know, you're out, period. And by the way, I know if I owned a football team, I'd probably be on the sideline. What the hell does Arthur need to be in those Monday meetings for anyway? I mean, does it even freaking matter? You know, that the coach has got to go and spend 15 minutes explaining to Arthur why the game was won or lost?
Well, look.
I mean, in all seriousness. I mean,
I hear you. But I do think because he's been hands-on his entire life.
He ain't going to change.
That's not changing, Mike. He was hands-on. You think he wasn't in every meeting as they built Home Depot?
Right.
You don't think that he was in every meeting as he put the PGA Superstore out there?
Right.
And it spread across the country? Like, everything he has his hands on, he has, pardon the pun, he's been hands-on. And just because you own a football team and you have, in your mind, great football people who are running it, doesn't mean I don't want to know. You know what? Did you guys see what the Ursay, you know, daughters did this year?
Right. How involved she's been?
Completely immersed. I mean, she's got a headset on the sideline listening to play calls. Sometimes people work differently. And I think that's always been Arthur Blank's MO. But, yeah, man, I don't think that's going to change. But here's the other thing. I also, Mike, here's why I like it. And I don't know if it matters. Maybe it doesn't. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It holds you accountable. Every week, you got to look me in the face and tell me why you won or lost, or why we sucked, or why our special teams wasn't any good, or what you didn't think we practiced, or what we needed to. And every week, it gives me a sheet on you to evaluate at the end of the year. I'm spending a lot of money on these coaches. These guys are not cheap.
Right.
You're talking about $5, $6, $7, $8 million a year for these head coaches. I want to know what you're doing every week. So I think it holds them accountable, even though I think a lot of fans think it's a joke because it's just the owner, you know, showing his power. I really think it's good for Arthur Blank because here's the deal. If he is paying attention as he should be through all these weeks, this decision should be easy.
What about the general manager? Where are you on Fontenot? Because, you know, Arthur, it looked at the time, remember we all joked around in the war room as if he was not aware of what they were going to do, but he was, and they did. But, I mean, if you're Arthur Blank, I mean, is that what you sold? You were sold to billions. We'll never, ever, Arthur, be in quarterback hell again. Rest assured.
That's right.
We'll have redundancy. And it didn't, even that didn't work out. And everybody around the league outside of Atlanta thought it was the dumbest thing that was ever been drafted or attempted. So, but Arthur, I presume, signed off on that too.
No, you're right, Mike. Look, the Penix thing, it's not time to get into this, but I will. And it is a very curious and fishy thing that we've gotten ourselves into now. And it's only because of the injury. Look, if Michael Penix doesn't get injured and he finishes the year on a high note, even if we didn't go to the playoffs, you'd still be feeling very confident. Right now, my confidence has waned.
Yeah.
It's waned a lot. And it has nothing to do with the individual. I think the kid is a great young man. But this is about, can he play at the level we needed to play at, Mike? And for how long? What is now this window? So you're right. The perception is reality. It didn't work, or at least the way we thought it might. And here's the other part about this. This is crazy to me. We might be back in the quarterback business in this draft.
Well, that's just it. Because, you know, if you do, just for argument's sake, you're going to bring in new coordinators. Okay, now we're into the cursed quarterback who has been injured and now has his second offensive coordinator. And we debated, have you heard, have you read the, maybe read between the lines yesterday with Kirk Cousins?
Yep.
About, yeah, you can, you know, he was toting the company line. You can still do great things in the pistol, but yeah, I'm better under center and better things are happening under center. And every analyst who watches the team says we're better under center. So God only knows. That's why we are in such a state of flux. And I had some guys hit me up on Twitter yesterday going, man, why even barking up the Cousins tree coming back? That's long gone. It may be. But I'm just, to Carl's point,
it might not be.
We are in freaking limbo right now with the QB for next season.
Yeah, and speaking of Kirk Cousins, if you missed our interview, it's online, odyssey.com. Great stuff with Cousins yesterday up at Flowery Branch. Look, I know many of you, it's sort of like the Belichick thing. He didn't like the way certain things went down. Now it's his chance to hold the team and say, oh, you treated me that way and I'm out of here. But business is business. Sometimes you can't allow your feelings to get involved with business. And business for Kirk Cousins is, can I continue to be a starter here, even going into next season? And if the answer is yes, Mike, versus him going to be a backup in, oh, I don't know, pick your team, is that more appealing to him than being here and already being established with an offense and a coach that may or may not be here? We don't know. But I'm with you. I don't think it's completely out of the picture, but I do agree with you. It felt like yesterday when he answered that question from you saying, you know, it's a February question. He wasn't avoiding it. He wasn't wrong. Mm-hmm. But he was also saying, I got a lot to think about.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I had a guy yesterday, we were going round and round about it. Why was he upset they drafted a quarterback? He didn't think they were going to draft a quarterback, and some guys don't want that smoke. And he goes, well, you compete. Yes, you compete, okay? Carl and I have talked about this a million times, okay? Whether it's they bring in a new guitarist in the band,
That's right.
You know, they bring in a new point guard. He's just a backup. It happens in all walks of life. We've seen this, guys. So the idea that Kirk Cousins is the only prima donna who didn't want to have a rookie drafted behind him, it happens a lot, more than you think. You can look in the history of the NFL about it. Hey, Brady didn't like Garoppolo breathing down his neck.
And got him traded. Him.
Went to Bob Kraft, went over Belichick's head. That's the greatest quarterback to ever dress out didn't like it.
No doubt. All right, 404-726-0929. Josina, stop it, all right? Stop playing with our emotions. As she says, several teams, including the Falcons, have upper-level personnel still fond of Bill Belichick. That's all nice and dandy. Send him a Christmas card.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not trying to offer him the job. That's where I'm at. I didn't want it then. I don't want it now. And I don't care what you say.
Right. And the only way I'd want Belichick is if he brought Vrabel's staff. The staff that Vrabel put together is compelling. It's molded in Bill with his A game, not where Bill is today.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry, Mike. O just said something to me, and I got to reveal this. Because you know what? You're wrong. You're wrong for this. Orange just said to me, can you guys tell me what Bill Belichick was doing while he was here at this cheerleading contest about a week or so ago? That's interesting.
Well, no, Jordan had a cheerleading contest. He always goes to her cheerleading contest. He wouldn't have been meeting with the Falcons. They wouldn't have, I mean, not that that would have happened, that you have a coach under contract and you bring another coach in. I mean, you know, not like when we had Deshaun Watson in the building when we had Matt Ryan, the greatest player to ever dress out for the team, you know, under contract.
Yeah.
You know, not that that would ever happen.
Yeah, maybe there's an exec hanging down there at the World Congress Center just happened to have a chance encounter. Oh, Bill, I didn't know you were down here this weekend.
It is ironic.
How were things going?
That competition was going on here. I do agree with you there. And by the way.
And then this report comes out like 3 days later?
I don't put it past any. Look. I don't put anything past any of these teams.
Oren says now there was some sort of cloak and dagger meeting between Belichick and the Falcons under the cover of Bill watching Code Black.
Yes, cheerleading.
Jordan Hudson's adult, by the way, cheerleading, which is the stupidest. I don't know. That's pretty darn stupid. But to watch it, maybe even stupider.
All right. Even if it's your girl, though?
Dude.
Even if it's your girl?
As I said last week, you were out of town.
Undefeated.
Carl, I went on Twitter. I go, look, man, I get it. Dating a hot 24-year-old with a gymnastics background, I don't know if it's still worth having to go to these things.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But some guys would say, oh, no, it is.
It might be. By the way, again, we're just talking.
Right.
None of this is official.
Right.
But the fact that Josina, a credible reporter, is putting it out there that, hey, upper-level personnel is still fond of him. Makes me wonder.
Maybe Josina can rope in her Shedeur Sanders fixation, too. And we bring Shedeur Sanders here.
She does love Shedeur. That's right. Hey, man, this hour is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys Lights brighten your holidays this year. No, I don't want him. It's Dukes and Bell.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got a four-pack of Atlanta Gladiator tickets to an upcoming home game in 2026 at Gas South Arena. Stay tuned. You're going to get a chance to win those. It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we were talking about this report from Josina Anderson saying that there are upper-level personnel still fond of Bill Belichick in the Giants, Browns organizations, and, of course, the Atlanta Falcons, which, look, I don't necessarily disagree that there are probably people. Mike, we said this. The room may have been split, but somebody had the ear of Arthur Blank enough to say, let's not do this.
Right. Now, again, there are many people, and we know some of them, that are involved in Arthur's inner circle. One thing we always intimated, and maybe they didn't like that, is if Belichick comes in, they're irrelevant when it comes to the football operation. Look, Arthur's got a vast empire. You know everything he's got from the PGA Tour Superstore. He's got the leagues. He's got everything. He's got soccer, the whole shebang. But I would be curious to know who was pro, you know, Belichick and who wasn't. And I would love to know how, because again, this is the debate. Everybody goes, Rich McKay's not involved. You're telling me if Bill Belichick's got a chance to come in and run this thing, that Arthur Blank doesn't run that by Rich McKay?
Of course he does.
Come on. That's just disingenuous. Anybody who feels otherwise.
I agree. And by the way, the reason why he runs it by him is because he's been a trustworthy source. Whether or not he takes the advice, which it feels like he's taken it more times than not, he's going to ask. And if one of you, meaning, you know, Rich or one of his guys has an issue with Belichick, that's probably going to be revealed in that conversation. Either way, the reason why we're talking about it is because Josina put that out there. Look, do I think the Falcons are thinking about next season? I do. But I also think they are focused on Sunday and then next Monday night and the last game of the season, because they have to be. If you're on this staff, if you're a player, Mike, the season is by far not done. And you need to finish this season to see where you might be next year, whether it's here or somewhere else. So there's reasons for guys to show up. This is why we talk about tanking in the NFL. No. It is so hard to just tell guys to lay down and quit on any given Sunday, especially with the season ending, and you're like, don't worry about next year. Don't worry about your next contract, Mike. Just go ahead and suck on Sunday.
Right, especially special teams. Now, you could argue that if we were going to tank, we would just keep our special teams the way it is. These guys somehow, some way, just lost the script and were completely out of position. We talked about the gaps that were exploited. Special teams was not as bad, certainly, Carl, this last week down in Tampa. But those guys are all going to be looking for a job, I would imagine, because they put some crap on tape, so they've got to turn it around. Guys like Ebiketie, you know, this is his final few games as a Falcon, one would argue, you know? So you're right. All these dudes, and that's why the idea is it's a nice concept, not the way it works. There's guys out there that are playing for their careers, but probably somewhere else.
Yeah. Even Kirk Cousins admitted yesterday that even though it's not a contract year for him, because he's technically under contract for two more seasons, it's a contract year because the Falcons need to make a decision on how they're going to deal with this cap hit if they want to do that. Speaking of Cousins, who joined us live yesterday at Flowery Branch, I asked him about the complexity of this offense and how complex is it? Because all we've heard, you know, is about, is it too complex, Mike? Are they doing too much? Are they not doing enough? Here's how he answered that question.
I think it's less complex now in the sense that we've had more time on task to kind of own it. I think year one, you're kind of like, oh, you want to do this. Oh, you want to do that. Like, whoa, that's new. That feels complex. I think late in year two, you're kind of saying, all right, I can kind of finish your sentence now, Zach. Like, I understand what you're trying to do. I know what you want here. I got you. Okay, got it. But it took some growing pains of trying to figure that out. And then I will tell you, like, Mike in training camp did such a good job with a lot of the new stuff and challenges. I was pretty impressed with his ability to, like, handle it all, that I think it was a good challenge for me to say, okay, like, Mike's handling this really well. He's in year two. Like, I've got to get this down,
right?
You know? And it's not so much can't teach an old dog new tricks, but it's like I've done a lot of different ways, a lot of different things. I got to wipe that and be able to, you know, play it this way now. And so, you know, I do think Mike has done a really good job in only year two picking up all that complexity.
I do think Kirk Cousins makes Zach Robinson, Z-Rob's job a lot easier because of his experience. And I tried to get it out of him yesterday, Mike, to say, hey, how much input do you have? Because I've heard he has a lot. And he did not overspeak when he said, look, yeah, they ask me, but it's not like I'm running this thing. And I thought that was interesting because, Mike, if I feel like, hey, we need to be doing this, and this is my 14th year in the league, it's like when Matt Ryan at the end of his career, then you probably should be doing those things.
Well, he did say to us that he did come with some stuff to Zach, say, hey, here's some things that I do like and some things, you know, that I'm getting a chance to get back under center that I would like to try to, you know, we should be working with and doing. And we've seen that, you know. And the one thing that I asked Kirk, and I'm curious to see how it happens on Sunday in Arizona, why can't we get production out of Drake? If, and again, I'm not sure. What do you expect for Drake, by the way? Sidebar. What do you think? What do you, I mean,
well, if he's playing,
he's going to go.
Yeah, he's going to be out there. Right. And look, they're going to target him. I mean, like, unless. He's available, but they don't want to risk him.
Well, I mean, if he's going to go, he's going to go. And Drake doesn't have like a 75% speed. He doesn't have that gear. But why can't we get Pitts and Drake to have, you know, big days at the same time, which is what we thought we were going to have, you know, 2 years ago. So curious to see how Cousins continues to evolve in this version of now running this offense with Zach. And then, as you said earlier, if he comes back, Day-Day brought this up yesterday. Maybe he feels that Zach is the guy to stick with. So, which might be good for Kirk, but not really good for Michael Penix if and when he ever gets back on the field here.
Let's hear Kirk Cousins answer that question about London and Pitts. Can they have a good day on the same day? Why not?
I don't see why it can't happen in the sense that, you know, looking back on my career, like T.J. Hockenson and Justin Jefferson had good days, and Pierre Garçon and Jordan Reed had good days. Like, it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. Certainly there's one football, so you're aware right. of that. And you do have a guy named Bijan Robinson in the backfield, but no, I think that probably is when our offense would be at its best, when you know, KP, Drake, Bijan, everybody's kind of contributing. And you definitely want that problem. You know, I remember being asked that back in Washington, like, hey, you got DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, Jordan Reed, Jameson Crowder, Vernon Davis. You know, how do you – you only have one football.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know, will a guy occasionally after a game feel he got squeezed out? Yeah, probably. But these are the kind of questions you want to be answering, because it means that you've drafted well and your free agency's gone well and you've got people who can make an impact on the game.
Yeah, I agree with him. He mentioned some names there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you remember those guys, some of you don't. But at the end of the day, he's had a lot of weapons in his career to right. be able to throw the football around the field. And when you've had that kind of success, it makes you feel like, hey, there's no reason Drake can't have eight and Pitts can't have eight and they both can't go over 100 yards or you know, a couple of touchdowns. But we just haven't seen that consistently this season. So,
and I get back to, you know, why with Zach, we said this, you know, there was a chance earlier in the year, and that was when Michael Penix was at the helm, Michael Penix Jr., when Mooney was dealing with that injury not out there. Why wasn't there a bigger impact from Pitts? And this gets into the old chicken and the egg argument. How much is on Pitts? Did Pitts check out? Why can't Pitts make more plays? Why doesn't Zach find a way to get him? Because you know why? We talked about this. Arch brought this up Friday. If you saw Pitts the last few weeks, he's operating where Drake operates.
Yeah.
And that's why it's flowing. Well, this guy, that's the only way we get production in this offense? Come on. I mean, then shame on you, Zach, for not figuring out.
Yeah. I'll say this, and this is getting into the minutia of things. Rams play tonight against Seattle. It's a big game. Thursday night. The Rams offense has changed over the last 6 weeks. And it's changed, Mike, from basically having, you know, Puka out there, and obviously Devontae Adams. Adams looks like he's not going to play tonight. If you go back and watch their games over the last 6 weeks or so, they've ran a lot of three tight ends. And that is one of the reasons why their tight ends have been so successful. The point is, Sean McVay has adjusted. He's not just stayed with one thing. This is what's working. Devontae Adams is killing guys. He's on a tear. You know, it looks like Devontae Adams in Green Bay. Point is, we haven't done that. We haven't done that adjustment where you go, hey, we're going to go three tight ends. And when we did, we lost our minds. Remember, we did that the first time Cousins started. And everybody said, man, look how many tight ends are on the field. What's going on? I think when you start talking about these different personnel sets, it just has to vary depending on what you're trying to get accomplished. And sometimes, Mike, if you've got injuries, that's another reason why McVay is one of the best. And I'm not comparing our guy to McVay because he came from there, but I'm telling you that is what kind of adjustments we
needed. But that's what you're paid for. I mean, you bet on a guy who's never done this before, and he has not shown the ability to do the things you're talking about. Not to my liking, certainly not to Falcons. And as he helped Penix, and we talked about some of the things that just don't pass the eye test, the play action that takes forever to develop, where it's like a slow-motion pirouette by your quarterback, these are things that's why I question why Zach was hired in the first place. And I know that, yes, guys have to – Dave Arch will tell us, you know, there's individual players that have to execute, etc. I don't understand what we're doing, and I haven't understood. And that's why I think of Arthur Blank. I got to ask these questions to your point about the end of the season evaluations.
Hey, man, Daily Downloads brought to you by Akins Ford. Check out the year-end sales at akinsford.com. I want to remind you, tomorrow, join the morning shift at Publix at Paces Ferry Center for a special broadcast. Come in, pick up your supplies for the weekend, your football parties. Say hello to Allie, Mike, and Bo as they broadcast live from the store, guys. It is brought to you by our friends at Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix. That's the morning shift right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from 6 to 9. Let's give away these tickets, a four-pack to the Atlanta Gladiators for an upcoming home game in 2026 at Gas South Arena, plus a Georgia Lottery gift bag and a $5 Jingle Buck scratcher. Visit GeorgiaLottery.com to find out where a local retailer is near you. Today could be the day. 404-726-0929. Day-Day, let's give that to caller 5. You want to go see the Gladiators at a home game in 2026. We're coming back, and when we do Falcon players who will be free agents believe enough in the team to return in 26? We'll talk about it next.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope you're having a great day. It is Dukes and Bell on a Thursday. Andy and Randy are going to be out at Twin Peaks tomorrow. We'll be there right after they get done. So it's a full day Twin Peaks at Kennesaw. Come on out and join us. And then on Saturday, guys, I'm going to be back out there 3 to 5 just hanging out watching games, college football playoff. Mike and I will get deeper into this with the college football playoff situation and what the games look like coming up. But that's going to be 3 to 5, all right, on Saturday. So come out, eat, drink, enjoy, and let's chop it up, man, and talk about all the things that are going on with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So tomorrow, Mike and I, 2 to 6, right after Andy and Randy, and then on Saturday, I'm out there inviting you to come join me. Do the Falcon players who are going to be free agents, Mike, believe enough in this team to return in 2026? If you were a guy that had options, and that option included, obviously, you coming back, how much reservation do you have about that coming back to this organization, even if you feel like, man, we've been so close?
Well, I mean, the only guys that you really want to come back as a fan, and I think there's no way he comes back, and it sucks because we love everything he represents and how he plays and how he keeps his head in the game. I'm talking about Tyler Allgeier. Allgeier's got to go. Allgeier can go be a starter or the lead dog in a backfield combo anywhere in the NFL. I always use the Michael the Burner Turner comparison. He'll be fresh. He ain't got the wear and tear. And that's a big thing right now for running backs. And this could be his only chance to get paid. Tyler Allgeier, the big contract. Remember, he was a fifth rounder.
That's right.
So that's the guy that, if I'm him, he's got to go because there's bigger opportunities, more reps, more money somewhere else.
Yeah.
Evan Cady, you and I were talking about this. Day-Day was asking us this question the other day. Evan Cady was a nice piece, but doesn't pop compared to, especially when you see just by comparison how Jalen and Pierce come in and just boom, they show out immediately.
I agree. I think that move is very easy now with what you have in place with the young guys. But like even with Caden Ellis, Mike, where you say, all right, you know what? You've got options. Does he like it enough? Does he see enough promise in this organization? And look, I know some people think that it's just all about the money. Like if he gets paid, he'll be back. It's not all about the money. Like, you know, if you've been in this thing for a while, Mike, you want to feel like you're moving in the right direction. And for guys who have been locked in, like an A.J. Terrell, regardless of how he's played, okay, and he's had an up-and-down season, to be quite honest with you, but at the end of the day, like, he hasn't been to the playoffs. He's been locked in. He's been all about being here and committed, and I'm going to sign this deal. And, yeah, it was, you know, the highest-paid deal for, like, 2 seconds, and then it wasn't. But, Mike, those guys, when you start talking about – it's just about the money. It is more than just the money. You think Jesse Bates loves where we're at right now? I mean, here's a guy that came in and had gone to a Super Bowl with Cincinnati and then put himself on this plateau to be the best safety in the league, gets paid as such. But those guys, man, and I'm not telling you they're leaving. What I'm saying is it just isn't about that. There is about where is this organization and how are we going to win? By the way, speaking of the Bengals, Mike, Joe Burrow's going through it right now.
Yeah, and now they're even talking about the Bengals shopping Joe Burrow. Now, again, guys, you got to understand with the internet, it's just because some writer out there, and again, you got to find out, is this guy, first of all, is he nationally accredited? Is he a local guy? Is he dialed in with the Bengals? Or is he some dude, literally, as we say, in his mom's basement? But this stuff, because everybody's looking for, you know, clickbait and content, I could not imagine they would be shopping Joe Burrow. But they are now a few years, as you said, removed from that Super Bowl. All of a sudden, Zach Taylor's on the hot seat. It's more about the organization and the way they drag their feet with their defense and some of the other decisions. I think you had to decide, but you know, either Jamar Chase or T. Higgins, not both.
Right.
You know, just like with the Dolphins, with Waddle or Tariq Hill. I think they made a mistake there. I think you just rolled the dice and tried to draft. But either way, you're telling me Burrow, they're really going to shop Joe Burrow? Come on, I can't buy that.
I don't either. And to find another quarterback of his level when healthy, I think is just too difficult. And you talk about really setting your franchise back. By the way, do you think, guy just hit me up, he says, are y'all overvaluing Tyler Algier? Guys, he's only got about 400 yards on the season. I don't know if I'm overvaluing him.
He's a 1,000-yard rusher. That's why people were confused initially. You had it first. You told everybody it's going to be Bijan with that top 10 pick. No, Algier was a 1,000-yard rusher for this team. Doesn't have the That's why I compare him to Michael LeBurner Turner. He's not going to run away from everybody, but he can run over you, and he can still break the big, you know, 30 or 40-yard play. And that's a skill set. Him paired with maybe a classic third down back is a pretty good backfield, but he'll make more money than he could make here. I do believe that. And I just think with all the things we've got coming due, it sort of becomes a luxury to attach yourself to a guy that, again, not a knock on Algier. He keeps his head in the game. When his number is called, he's ready. He delivers. But he's a luxury item at this point.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. I think people around football in the NFL know his value. I don't think we're overvaluing him. I do think, you know, this is a little bit deceiving. Look at how the offense has operated this year. And to say, well, he's only got about 400 yards and, you know, a few touchdowns. Like, that's not his fault. Like, that is not on his shoulders. Mike's right. When he's in the game, he's performed. So it is interesting, though, because I think a lot of fans think that this is in turmoil. Do players think that?
Players, two things. You know, how comfortable are you here? If you're on your rookie deal, there was an article the other day, a video that was shot in the back of a limo where Puka Nacua is like, I can't even afford a house in Southern California. I'm on a rookie deal.
He ain't lying.
You know, so you're looking, there's parts in your life in the NFL, if you're not a first rounder, you know, second round's a nice change, but then you get in those middle rounds, you've got to go get paid. And you may only get that one big contract, and then it's up to the teams to decide if you get that second contract by age 30, which for some is not a slam dunk. So you've got to go make max earning potential now. And that's why I'm referring to Tyler Algier. Guys, if there's a way to keep Tyler here, I'm all for it. I just don't think it's going to be fiscally feasible. Yeah. Knowing that you just touched on it, you're going to have to pay for Bijan, Drake London, Bergeron. These guys are all going to be dudes you're going to have to take care of.
Yeah, you're going to have to figure out who you want to pay. And they've already paid some of these guys. I mean, look, when your time is up, it's not necessarily, you know, whether you're worth it.
A guy I'd get rid of, I would cut Mooney. Mooney is 5.5% of our cap right now. It's $16 million, nearly 17, 16.8. I'm looking, actually, check that. I'm lowballing him. He's 18.4. So he's 6% of our cap next year, and he's too darn inconsistent for me.
Yeah, the injuries have hurt him, despite what he did last year.
What's up, Darnell?
I feel like you're right, man. I look, I've said this, Mike, and we got a lot of time to discuss the draft and all the stuff that's going to go on. We got to upgrade our wide receivers, and we got to get some speed. We got to get some dangerous players.
What's more, size? Opposite? Two big guys, and then you'll go figure
size
out.
Size is not as important for me as guys who can stretch the field, Mike. Right. Cheetah's not 6'5".
No.
But he scares the hell out of you, right?
He is the unicorn.
Correct.
But yes.
But I need some of that. But he's not the only fast guy in the league. There are a lot of fast guys that come to the league. We don't have that right now. And I don't care if it's Penix or whoever's going to be playing quarterback. That's been part of our problem. I want you guys to think about this season and think about how many times we've thrown the ball deep consistently. We don't. We just don't. So, you know, I think teams understand where we're at right now, Mike, and they play us that way. And, yeah, they're going to give up the 10-yard, even the 15-yard play. When's the last time you saw us drop back and hit a 60-yarder down the field? It just consistently doesn't happen. And part of that is, if Drake's doing all this stuff underneath and Pitts is doing all this other stuff, that is what Mooney's supposed to be doing, and it's just not been there because he's not been on the field.
Right, and the fourth option is like a guy like Ray Ray who's gone, and he is, you know, he was a nice sort of like, you know, water bug kind of dude that can do some of those other things. But you're right, we need that kind of like speedier Harry Douglas. That's what Mooney was brought to be. You just touched on it. Mooney is just the same guy he is here that he was in Chicago. A good year, and then a year where he's not helping us consistently.
404-726-0929. And by the way, I don't mind if you go in this draft, depending on how things play out, if we were to do that in this draft, Mike, because I think that is it's a need. You know, you've already invested heavily in your defense. And if these pieces continue to play out, and then we talk to Coach about the guys that are hurt, the Trices of the world, and guys that are done for the season, but you feel like, hey, some of these guys may come back. The defense right now, it feels like, okay, you've spent the money there, or at least invested. You're going to be spending money on these guys if they continue to do what they're doing. How do you make this offense what it needs to be? And I think that's a big element of what we're missing.
I'm looking at this 2026. It's a voidable year for Onyemata, by the way.
Okay.
Whose number drops down. You see that, Day-Day? Onyemata's hit is 2.4 mil for 2026. So do you feel
affordable,
rotational, fits what we're trying to do as, you know, Brandon Dorlus, Ruka Row, the other guys in that middle.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, we've kind of sort of, how many times have we kind of cast him off, but he sticks around and they like what he does?
Well, the affordability matters, but I also think youth does, Mike. And if you can.
He's 34 next year.
If you can get a guy that's a lot younger, you got guys right now 10 years younger that can play his position and they are still cheaper than what that is.
Right. And Dorlus, we love his game, man. Big time.
All right, man. 404-726-0929. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes. And follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on.
Let me throw, this might be sounding blasphemous, but since we're kind of looking at, again, we got 3 more weeks of the NFL.
Blasphemy!
But do you look at Jake and say, get out while you can? Or still say he's still one of the better guys and serviceable? I mean, there have been, look, I just think this year there's been a lot of penalties to go around, but we're still not one of the more penalized teams, so maybe I'm just nitpicking. Jake is a big hit, but Jake is also the bedrock of the line. He'll be, again, also 34.
Yeah, look, I have an affinity.
And Jake, if you're listening, I'm just spitballing.
I have an affinity for Jake because I think the biggest thing in the NFL is consistency. And he has been the model of that.
2 more years on his deal. 3 more years. 26, 27, 28.
And as long as he wants to play, Mike, I think he can play. I mean, look, this dude's a Matthews. These guys play forever. His uncle, his dad, like, go look. I mean, like, I don't know what it is. It's in the genes. But I think for a guy like Jake Matthews, if you're asking me, are we better or worse with him, that's not what I'm telling you. I just know he's going to be out there. I just know he's going to be out there. And for me, that is a big deal when you talk about left tackle in this league and specifically us right now having a big question mark moving forward with the quarterback situation. I'm not messing with Jake unless Jake wants to step away. And, Mike, every time we talk to him, I try to get it out of him, and he's like, no, man, I feel good. I feel healthy. I'm good.
Right. And so there you go. I'm just looking at the roster, and I'm just trying to find some ideas here.
They're going to have to make some decisions. You're right.
The big one, though, is the $57.5 million cap hit, nearly 19% of our cap next year, and that's Kirk Cousins. So the dead cap, if you move on, is 35. And as Carl said, a post-June 1st designation. But you've got to realize that we don't know for sure when Penix comes back. And just how do you play it? I mean, that's because you're going to basically have to find somebody like a Marcus Mariota again, that kind of guy, that washed up rebrand, retread, that nobody wants to see as a stopgap.
Yeah, look, my issue with that is, and it's just me, maybe it's not, that just doesn't move the needle for me. I'm not excited about it. I'm not excited about any of these journeymen that are out there, Mike, that may be actually able to help. But I don't care. I don't give a damn. That does not excite me. The reason why I was excited this year is because, Mike, it was fresh blood. It was something new with Michael Penix. And guess what? The promising future of what this could maybe be. Now we're back to square one. I mean, we really are. So I just, if that's the boat we're in, then I'm really looking at the front office and going, what the hell are we doing? Like, what? That's why I said in the spring we could be drafting another quarterback. And it's not because you want to. It's because you have to.
Right.
You have to.
Look, this thing with the Falcons is, we had a window. Yeah, I don't even know what the friggin' window is. It's hard. When you don't go to the playoffs for 8 years, you know, you probably find one more chance to squeeze something out of Matt Ryan. We'll never know, right? What happened in Indianapolis, it didn't mean anything to me. It may have still worked here.
Yeah.
You know, with Arthur Smith, we'll never know. But you've got a bunch of studs. The problem is with Bijan and Drake and Pitts, you know, you didn't go to the playoffs. And now you may have a new regime coming in, which may look at it completely different. See, are we too close to it to think between the young studs we've added on defense the last two drafts and what we've got on the offensive side? The thing is, you got to have a quarterback. We don't have a draft pick, and that's fine because Pierce is a rock star.
He is.
But we are in a screwed-up spot. We don't – Cousins might tell us to pound sand, you know. I don't know. He's under contract, but you got to – you cannot go to the end of that season with that number. So, good luck. Somebody's got to figure it out. And is Terry going to be here to figure it out? Which gets us back to the first point you brought up today. What's going to be the move in the offseason?
What is it going to be?
We're in flux, man.
And we are.
We're the Falcons flux, Joe.
We are. And that, by the way, that has nothing to do with the results this weekend or Monday next Monday night. Has nothing to do with that. This is what's going to be on the table for a little while until things are revealed by the owner. Hey, man, want to remind you again that this hour of Dukes and Bell is brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys lights brighten your holidays this year. Coming up, by the way, we're going to talk to Chad Bishop. He covers Georgia Tech, Mike, and in addition to transferring Aaron Filo, who obviously we now know, and the move of Buster Faulkner to Florida, they feel like, and I said this today on our pre-show behind the curtain, it feels like Georgia Tech's leaking a little bit. And what I mean by that is when you have the kind of season they had, you would think that guys would be more in tune to sticking around and say, hey, this is we're on to something.
Right.
But that's not the college football world we live in. So you're seeing players that normally probably wouldn't leave under the old system, Mike, finding ways to say, hey, this school's offering me this. Right. I might have to leave. And that is right now a challenge for Brent Key.
If you go and look at, like, and this is not even just the bigger programs. Everybody out there, I talked to Carl, the smaller programs like UTSA, guys can't even field teams for their bowl games. This is the second year in a row now.
That's right.
We got multiple teams that don't have enough live bodies for bowl games. And there's no end in sight or no fix.
All right, coming up, fourth and one's on the way. Rams, Seahawks tonight. Rams won the last meeting. But we will also tell you, is it over for Tua and his head coach in Miami now that Tua's been benched? We'll get you the latest on that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.